Luke chapter 6. The message today is the sons of men calling upon the name of the Son of Man. The sons of men calling upon the name of the Son of Man. Keep that in mind as I read portions to you from the Gospels. First of all, Luke chapter 6. I'm taking it as it is in the King James. If you have different translations, it will be a little different, but I will read it to you because, as last week, our Savior duplicated the calling of men's names, Martha, Martha, Simon, Simon. So, this week, men duplicate calling our Savior's name. So let's see in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Everyone that cometh to me and heareth my words and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man building a house, who digged and went deep, and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream brake against that house, and could not shake it, because it had been well builted, built upon the rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that built his house upon the earth without a foundation, against which the stream brake, and straightway it fell in, and the ruin of that house was great. Notice, Lord, Lord. Now chapter 8. Verse 22. Now it came to pass on one of those days that he entered into a boat, himself and his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filling with water, and were in jeopardy. And they came to him, and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. And he awoke, and rebuked the wind, and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm, a great calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And being afraid, they marveled, saying one to another, who then is this that he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him? Now let's turn to Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. And while you're looking at chapter 14, I'm going to give you a little additional information about what they fully said to him when the boat was filling with water. Listen to this. The boat was filling with water. Waves were breaking over it. And the Savior was asleep in the stern of the ship. And they say to him, Master, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, in Mark chapter 14, look at verse 44. Now he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And when he was come, straightway he came to him and said, Rabbi, Rabbi, and fervently kissed him. Now, Matthew chapter 7. Verse 20, therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In chapter 25, five wise, five foolish virgins, and while the Lord tarried, they all slumber and sleep. Verse 7. But when the Lord comes, it says, all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, peradventure there will not be enough for us and you. Go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went away to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not the day, nor the hour. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we are thankful how thou dost know the hearts of men. Did you not say to the disciples in the garden, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak? Thou dost know that we have spirits. Thou dost know also, Father, that we are filled with flesh. We pray this day that the portions that we've read shall reveal to us, our God, how much flesh there is in us, and shall reveal to us the great need of turning to that spiritual part with which we commune with thee, and let that control our lives. Only you by your Spirit are able to do this, our God. So work in the hearts of all of those who are here, and do what we are unable to do of ourselves. Who is sufficient to cause an anxious thought to arise in the heart of a man for eternal good? No one, our Father. But your Spirit is able to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. May thy Spirit work in the hearts of all who are here. And we confess our sins. Be faithfully just to forgive and cleanse and empower thy servant, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. How lightly do men take Jesus calling their names? Do you remember last week when our Savior said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And Simon said, Lord, there's nothing to worry about. I'm prepared to go to prison with you. I'm prepared to die with you. How lightly do men take Jesus calling their names? But how seriously do men expect Jesus to take them when they call His name. Did you notice? There was a storm on the sea, and they come to Jesus and they say, Master, Master, do you not care that we perish? Oh, I see. Does that sound serious enough for you? You say yes, and they expect Him to do something right now. So whenever man calls upon the name of Jesus, they expect Him to take them seriously. But when Jesus speaks your name, gives you a warning, tells you something to do, how lightly do you take the speaking of Jesus to you? Last week and the week before, I told you about Jesus speaking people's names. That is what is so beautiful. He knows everybody's name. He knows some people's names in a particular way. And this is what you're to find out today. Whether or not the Lord Jesus knows you, and whether or not you know the Lord Jesus. You would think from all the scriptures that I read to you that everybody in the four passages, the five passages I read, they all know Jesus. Why would you think that? Well, they say to Him, Lord, Lord. You see how familiar they seem to be with Jesus. But the difference is this. It's not whether you are familiar with Jesus, but it's whether Jesus is familiar with you. Suppose some great name were mentioned, and you were to say, I know him. Oh, yes. I frequently am around that man. And the man were to come into this town, and he went up to him and spoke his name. And he would look at you and shake his head and say, I don't know who you are. You see how easy it is for us to say, I'm familiar with this dignitary, this important person. But the thing that counts is whether that dignitary is familiar with you. If you're truly saved, Jesus knows all about you. This is what he says in John 10. Speaking of himself as the good shepherd, he said, I know my sheep by name. And that is why he could say, Martha, Martha. He knew her. Even though she was upset and filled with anxiety, he knew her. He acknowledged her. And at the same time, though Simon was going to deny him, still, the Lord Jesus knew Simon. And so ask yourself this question honestly. If our Savior were to come here today, and you went up and said, Lord, Lord, would He look into your face and say, Martha, Simon, Mary? Or would He look at you and say, I don't know where you're from. I don't know anything about you. I never knew you. That's going to happen. In the passages I read, three of them had to do with things that happened when Christ was on earth, in the days of His flesh. In the first passage I read to you, the Savior was saying, Why do you say to me, Lord, Lord? That's what people were saying to Him when He was on earth. In chapter 8, when there was a storm on the sea, the disciples said to Him, Master, Master. That's what happened when He was on earth. And in Mark chapter 14, when Judas came up and said, Master, Master, Rabbi, Rabbi. That's something that happened to Him on earth. But the last passages I read are things that are going to happen in a coming day when you stand before God in judgment. He said, Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. But He's going to say in that day, I don't know where you come from. I don't know who you are. So what you have to do is this. You have to be certain that when you are calling him Lord, Lord, he knows who it is that's calling. I promise you this. Whoever you are, miserable, insignificant, unknown sinner, if you call upon the name of the Lord and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, then from that moment onward, he knows who you are, and he will never forget your name. But some of these dear children that came up here and quoted the word of God in a coming day, they may say to him, why, Lord, Lord, in Sunday school, I memorized scriptures. It means absolutely nothing. This is what the Bible says about opportunity. It says to Timothy, from a child, from a little baby, you have known the holy scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible will save no one. Faith in what the Word of God says will save anyone. And so, dear children, continue to hide God's Word in your heart because it makes you wise unto salvation. But it is faith from that heart in which you are hiding God's Word, faith in the Savior that is in those scriptures that gives you salvation. And I promise you that now you are unknown to the Lord. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, other than being known as one of God's creatures, and he is omniscient, he knows everything. But as for personal acquaintance with you as one who has trusted his Son as Savior, he does not know where you come from, and he does not know who you are. And so in that last passage, that passage was telling what is going to happen in the future. Now, the consolation is this. If the Savior speaks to man and warns them on earth, there is an opportunity to reverse the condition in which he finds them. They did not avail themselves of that opportunity when he was in the garden. He said to Peter, James, and John, watch with me. And he came back, and he found them sleeping. He said, rise and pray that you enter not into temptation. Do you see that opportunity? They had a chance to rouse themselves from their sleep and to watch and pray with him. But they lost that opportunity. And all of you today who are hearing me say that Jesus is warning you, why do you say to me, Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you, that I tell you to do? If he has warned you, in time, you can reverse that condemnation that he's spoken about you. And it can completely change your life for eternity. It can make a difference in this world, and it will make an eternal difference in the world to come. So that is the difference. That is why I read the first portions to you, because there is still a chance when Jesus speaks men's names and when men speak Jesus' names in this life, then they can learn by what they have said to him and how Jesus reacted to what they said to him. What is so sad is that not one of the addresses to our Savior was of any worth. You say, how can that be? Listen again. They are coming to him, and they have the right words. And when they speak those words, they double them, just as Jesus said, Martha, Martha, Simon, Simon. They come to the Savior, and they say to him, Lord, Lord. You see, they have the right words. But he said, why do you say to me, Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? I told you, not one of these illustrations I have given is a good one. You say, Lord, Lord, but then they do not the things that he says. That is something that will destroy a man. To have the right words to speak to the Savior, and then his life is a contradiction to the words that he speaks to the Savior. Am I talking to you? Rather, disregard him. Rather, turn your back upon him than speak his name and then not do the things that he says to you. And yet, the Savior looked at those when he was on earth and he heard them, Lord, Lord. And he knew everyone that was speaking to him in truth, and he knew all of those who were speaking to him that had no intention of doing the things that he told them to do. Now, are you one of those? Well, you have the right terminology. You know to call him Lord Jesus. You know what rabbi means. You know what teacher means. You know all of the phraseology of the Word of God. But you do not know the life that you should live, and you do not live the life that must accompany the way that you speak to the Lord. So it's a danger. The Bible says, be not many of you teachers. Why? I thought God wanted teachers to spread the Word of God. He said, be not many of you teachers, because you shall receive the heavier judgment. There are some who have never heard of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know his name. And you speak his name, Lord, Lord. And then you do not do what he says that you are to do. The Lord Jesus said, you will answer for the way that you speak to me. Keep that in mind. Now, the other instance, I'm just bringing this to your attention now, how not one of these addresses to the Lord was worthy. They're in the boat. The boat is filling with water. They think they're about to drown. And reading from Luke 8 and Mark 4, this is what it says. Master, Master, do you not care that we are perishing? Is that an honorable way to speak to the Lord? Master, Master, do you not care that we're going to drown? Do you think that's honoring to him? You say, why? That's a dishonorable way to speak to the Lord. Why, of course it is. To speak to him the right words and then to question his concern for you. Aren't you concerned as to what's happening in my life? Just keep that in mind for a moment. Now, in Matthew, as well as in Mark, we have words that are false. But the falsest of all words and the behavior of all men is found in Mark chapter 14. Because Judas Iscariot comes up to the Savior, and he says, Master, Master, and he kisses him. You say, well, that's beautiful to say Master to Jesus and kiss him. To say Master, Master, and kiss him, and you've just sold him for 30 pieces of silver. You say, why? That is unworthy also. Yes. But in each utterance of our Lord's name, all the words are right. But everything that accompanies what is said is wrong. This is the most tragic of all. When, in that coming day, all of these words that you use of the Lord on earth that can be changed now, they will not be able to be changed in that day. It said that when the Lord came, the door was shut. And then those who felt they were going to be on the inside find themselves on the outside, and they're knocking on the door, and they say, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he says to them, you are never going to get in. I do not know where you came from. I do not know who you are. You say, well, everything that they called him was right, and yet there was not one beneficial, one good thing that comes from all of these addresses of the Savior in every reference that you've read to us. Now that is what is so sad. Some of them are spoken by true children of God, but carnal children of God. Others are spoken by hypocrites. If I am a carnal Christian, at least I have this consolation, that when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I may be saved so as by fire my whole life may go up in wood, hay, and stubble, fire, reducing my whole life of service to him to ashes. But if I have genuinely trusted Christ as Savior, though no reward in the world to come, still I'm saved so as by fire. And what I'm afraid is that so many of you will say, oh, well, I'm just a carnal Christian. It may very well be that you're not a Christian at all. And you better examine your heart again, lest you say, well, I'm a carnal Christian. I hope to God at least you're that much. I hope to God that you'll be more in the future. But in the coming today, in a coming day, when you stand before the Lord and you say, well, I've been a carnal Christian, but now I'll give him the right address. Lord, Lord, I'm here. Open the door. And the Lord will say to you, I never knew you. Now, that is what is so tragic. If when men say, Lord, Lord, and do not the things that he says to them in this life, you can change. Your life can be conformed to the way that you address the Savior with your lips. That is a consolation. And the way to examine your heart is this. If the life that I live is consistently one that is contrary to what is set forth in the Word of God, then I'm not going to judge myself as a carnal Christian. I'm going to judge myself as a false professor. I'm going to judge myself as a tare and not a genuine kernel of wheat. And that is what God expects us to do. He expects us to so examine our hearts that in the light of his countenance, we can genuinely say whether we are true or whether we are false. You can do it now. But I promise you that once the door is shut, no matter what you say, no matter the term of address that you give him, no matter the intensity of your plea, you will never get that door open. And that is what our Savior is telling us in the portions that I read to you this morning. That some, in the first two instances, can change. Lord, Lord, but you do not the things that I tell you. You can change. Master, Master, carest thou not that we perish? That can be corrected. But what happens is that some, such as Judas Iscariot, who have lived a life of hypocrisy, at the end, they are not able to bring themselves to convert, to change. But what happens is they realize the issue of their life, and they go out and commit suicide. They find out that they are not able to change. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time that you can call upon the name of the Lord. God gives you no guarantee of tomorrow, because there are things that happen in a man's soul when he hardens his heart. He that being often reproved, stiffeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. And that is what happens as the voice of God speaks and we hypocritically speak to him the right words, but then deny by our lives the things that he tells us to do and the addresses that we are giving to him, if it goes on for day after day after day, it finally comes that the only thing you know is a hypocritical way to speak his name, and you will never be able to say from the heart, Jesus, my Lord. Even Thomas changed when the Savior spoke to him. He had said previously, unless I see him, unless I put my finger where the spikes went into his hands, unless I thrust my fist into his side, I will not believe. And the Lord Jesus said to him, Thomas, Thomas. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. That's the hope now. But the door had not been shut. When the door is shut, all the duplication of his name, all the duplication of his titles, it will avail absolutely nothing. And that is why he has given all of these illustrations, and I could give more, but I've given enough to show you to cover the range of conditions that exist in this world in men that are not strangers and alienated from Christ, but they are those who are familiar with him. Listen to them. They are condemning them all, their own selves. How? When they're talking to him, they said, why, we ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. I was just looking at some of you young ones now. Speaking of anniversaries, this is my 35th year coming to Pembroke. And some of you have been listening to me from your youth all these years. And you have eaten with me when we've had refreshments. You have heard me teach. I've taught in this assembly. And perhaps someday, when this sinner saved by the grace of God, cleansed by his precious blood, you see me in heaven, you'll say, why, I know him. He came to Pembroke. He ate and drank with us. Why, he taught in our assembly. And the Lord will say, it means absolutely nothing. He told you truthfully the way of God. He told you you must be born again. But you did not trust my Son as your Savior. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You see, your own words are going to condemn you. If someone says, do you go to Sunday school? Oh, yes. And some have pins put upon their lapels telling all the years that they faithfully attended Sunday school. And so when you plead that to God in the future, he will say, it means absolutely nothing. But we heard sound preaching. It means absolutely nothing. Do you not understand that the Savior says there must be reality? He says, by their fruit you shall know them, not by the false confessions of their lips. Thank God that those who do speak of Jesus as Lord, that's a wonderful thing. If they're calling Jesus Lord, is that which has been revealed to them by the Father, and then the Father showing them who Jesus is, a man's heart saying, Lord, Lord, and then going and obeying all the things that God said. That's a beautiful thing. But for a man to say, I know he's Lord, I know he's Jesus, I know he's the Messiah, I know he's the Christ, I know he's the King of the Jews, I know all of those things, but your heart has never been converted, and you've never been born again, and there has never been the Spirit of God in you. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and of death. If you've never had that experience in your life, then you will tell God all of these things in the coming day, and he will say, it means nothing. I never knew you. I do not know where you come from. All that you have said is worthless when it comes to admitting you into heaven. This is what God wants you to understand. I know what God wants. Listen to it, and you will see as I give you these addresses again. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say to you? Then he wants obedience. They are saying, Lord, Lord, and not doing what he says. He says, I want you to say, Lord, Lord, and obey to do the things that I say. You say, why? Well, of course. When they're in the ship and they think they're ready to drown, they say, Master, Master, do you not care that we perish? That they call him Master is a good thing. But they doubt his concern for the welfare of their souls. That's the worst thing to attribute to the Lord. No man careth for my soul. Why, the Lord Jesus cared for you even to the shedding of blood. And he says, where is your faith? You say, then if we say, Master, Master, he expects us to have faith, to trust that Master. You say, I see. I say, Lord, Lord, and he expects obedience. And you say, Master, Master, and he expects faith. And then Judas Iscariot comes upon him, and he says, Master, Master, Rabbi, Rabbi, and kisses him. And Jesus said, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? The Lord Jesus wants sincerity. He does not want hypocrisy. And what he is trying to do in telling you a prophecy concerning the future is to disillusion you from thinking that all of the words that you speak, your associations with Christians and the Word of God, will make you acceptable in his sight. He wants reality. He wants you to be disillusioned that all that you've gone through without making a definite commitment to Jesus Christ as Savior, that that will get you to heaven. He wants you to understand that it's all false. And so when men call the Savior by his name, that is a good thing. But he expects that good thing to be accompanied by another good thing. The Lord Jesus wants obedience. He wants faith. He wants sincerity. And he wants reality. Call him by his name, and let there be truth in that call. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, that you have given us the great honor of knowing about your Son, you have said concerning some that none of the rulers of this world knew who Jesus was. Had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Father, we are convinced that some of us know who Jesus is, but we've never trusted in his Savior. Let us know our hearts are broken because of this, the opportunities that they had. But our Father, we know that these opportunities are not sufficient. The Word of God is able to make them wise unto salvation, but there must be faith in Christ Jesus. So by thy Spirit, work upon them, and may they, as guilty sinners, place that faith in Christ and say, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And then in that coming day, when we say, Lord, Lord, our Savior shall respond, Yes, Martha. Yes, Simon. Yes, Thomas. That there be sincerity in our lips and in our lives, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.